Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Make Your Prayers Effective. You are studying Lesson 4. When you pray, you are actually talking to God. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Father, we pray over this broadcast today. We ask you to help us learn. Help us learn what you have designed and what you have put in motion in the field of prayer so that we can be more successful with you and draw on your life and draw on your success and be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go once again into the Bible. That's where all the keys are. That's where the life of God is in His Word. That's the reason for the Bible. History is only a very small part of the reasons why God brought the Bible into existence. This is His Word. His Word is His bond. His integrity is wrapped up in this Bible as He revealed it to men, as He revealed it, and in their lives they put it into work, and it worked. And what worked was recorded. And that's the reason for the Bible to start with. It is the copy of the covenant that we have with God, the promises of God. Now, let me remind you here again of something we talked about yesterday. I'm going to stay at you with this because, like I said on yesterday's broadcast, if you don't get this, your prayer life is not ever going to develop. It never will be worth anything. You'll just keep failing the rest of your life in everything if you don't get this. Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. We read yesterday, Hebrews 4, 12 through 16, there's not anything, nothing is naked before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, let us hold fast to our confession and come boldly to the throne of grace and receive. Amen? All right. So then prayer is not trying to get God's attention. We already have His attention. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something. He's already done it. It's already here. It's already accomplished. Not one thing was left out of it. Prayer then is communication with God, receiving what He has already given to us in Christ Jesus. Now then, with that, we need to begin to learn how to receive. We need to know why Christians fail to receive so that we don't make the same mistakes. We need to know what people in the Bible did in order to receive. God didn't do something for them just because they're in the Bible. I mean, that didn't have anything to do with it. That's the way religion has thought about it. Oh, yes, that was Moses. If you study Moses' life, you'll figure out and find out that, I mean, he fouled up just as much as you and me. The Bible said that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He got so scared of one woman, he wanted to die, prayed to die. Well, he had to be messed up in his thinking, because if he really wanted to die, all he had to do was just sit around a little while. Jezebel would have fixed it. And she is after him anyway. She's wanting to kill him. But I mean, all of these things are important because you need to realize what the man did in order to connect with God to overcome such stuff as that. All right. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 21. And I want to make another statement to you. I want you to say this out loud. Our struggle is not with God. Say it out loud where you can hear it with your own ears. My struggle is not with God. Say it again. My struggle is not with God. Amen. He's not your problem. He's not making you sick. He's not killing your family. He's not the one that's the problem. God is the answer to the problem. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 21 then, I want to read in the 21st and 22nd verses. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now listen to this. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's pretty obvious if you read that and look at that and you look at prayer all the way through the rest of the New Testament. In fact, let's look at Mark chapter 11, 24th verse, where Jesus, again, this, in fact, this is Mark's account of the same incident. And he said in the 24th verse, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, you remember that we read the first day that we started this, it was last Monday, Luke 18, 1. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, or what he was driving at. That's the way you'd say it in today's vernacular. He taught them in a parable, and this is what he was driving at. To this end, that men, special men, no, men, real good men, no, men. That includes women too. He's talking about the race of man, the human race. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, one translation says, men ought to pray always continually. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Another translation said, men ought to pray always and not be discouraged or lose hope. Another translation said, men ought to always pray and not faint and cave in and give up. Well, now, what do you suppose Jesus said that for, just to hold these pages together? What would be the use in men praying always if there wasn't a Bible way to get the prayer answered? The book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied and said, God's arm is not shortened, neither is his ear heavy that he can't hear. The Bible, in Peter, put it this way, the eyes of God are open to the righteous. Oh, there, see there, you got to be righteous. That's right. But that don't mean being goody-goody like most people think it does. Righteous means in right standing with God. And the blood of Jesus has put you in right standing with God. And that righteousness will make you the kind of person and govern your conduct the way you know God wants you to and the way life should be lived in order not to walk in death. The wages of sin are death. That's the reason God's against sin. Now then, however, let me say it again. Just because somebody has gone 27 years without kicking the cat and without spitting on the sidewalk, don't mean that God said, Oh, look at that, little darling. I tell you what I think we'll do. We'll answer four prayers for him if he keeps this up another 6 weeks. Now, that's the kind of idea that religion has. If I could just get good enough. You can't get that good, hoss. Ain't no way. You know you. I know you, God knows you, the devil knows you. You know, it ain't gonna happen, is it? Uh-uh. What is this thing all about? God has provided in Jesus, the name of Jesus, His Spirit, who is our helper, our standby, our advocate, the one that is within us, that has come to live in us to change us into those things that God desires. And when He does it, it works. When you try to do it, it's just some more trash, you know. But when He does it, it works. Praise God. Now then, our prayer life is based on His Word in the name of Jesus on a covenant signed in His blood between God the Father and Jesus His Son, and there's no failure in either one of them. So, when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, then my prayer life and approach to God is through Him, and it's in His righteousness, in His name, in His way, that the new and living way, the Bible said, praise God. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Praise God. Now then, in that 18th chapter of Luke, said men ought to always pray. And back to Matthew 21 again, He said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Mark quoted Him like this, but therefore whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. So, I mean, you don't have to be, you really don't have to be all that smart to realize that the key to this is in the believing. Because He said, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. I can see right off that that's the hook in that. The key to it is in the believing. Because obviously it's been made available to me, or Jesus wouldn't have said that like that. He wouldn't have said, in all things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. It's the believing. That's where the problems lie, is in the realm of believing. If the devil's going to get through to you and stop what you're praying, he's going to break down this area of believing with doubt and unbelief. Now, what is the unbelief that this is referring to? I know I spent a lot of years trying to figure out how to believe. Well, and when I finally saw through it, it was so simple. I thought, you know, how could anybody as simple as I am miss that? But I did. It was so simple. And really, you know it as well as I do because you do it every day in your own life. You make these same judgments every day. You believe what somebody said. Huh? Yeah, that's just how simple it is. You can't believe God if you don't know what He said. Trying to work up some kind of belief has nothing to do with this. It's easy to believe God if you know what He said. Amen. If you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you must believe what God said about Jesus. So, I act on what He said because I believe His integrity. Now, you make that same decision every day that some people could tell you anything they won't tell you. You wouldn't believe it because you know they're a liar. There's other people that could tell you things and promise you things. You wouldn't pay attention to it because you don't know them. I mean, they may be wonderful and fine and all that, but I don't know them. I'm not going to base all the money I got in the bank on what some guy said. I don't even know him. I probably won't base what I have in the bank, even if somebody that I know told me the guy's all right. I'm going to have to do some checking and find out about him before I depend on anything he said. Isn't that true? That's all believing is. Now, there is a supernatural believing in your spirit that's not just based on logic because it doesn't come out of the human mind. It grows out of the spirit realm. And that has power to bring things to pass because it is a connection with God. So, there's more to it than just logic and good sense. However, the base of it is the same. That's where faith in people, is a derivative of that. So that when I know what God has said, and I go to what God has said, and I meditate on what God has said, it may not work just right in my reasoning yet, because God is smarter than I am. But when I have faith in Him and in what He says, the faith that grows up on the inside of me, or the believing, if I believe it, I say this. If I believe it, I act on this. If I believe it, I put this into my life as final authority. As I do, It corrects, or what the Bible says, renews my mind. It straightens my thinking out. Then as I walk in it with God, God gives, I receive. God gives, I receive. God gives, I receive. And then it goes around the other way. I give, God receives. I give, God receives. It's communication with God. There's more than one way to communicate with God. Praise is communication with God. The prayer of faith is communication with God. The prayer of intercession is communication with God. There are different kinds of prayer, different fields and endeavors of prayer. And we're going to learn all of them that I have learned up to this time. I'm going to share all I know about it with you so you can put it into motion. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know all there is to know. I'm believing God to learn more as I teach it to you. And as we walk together and learn more and find out more, praise the Lord, we'll share it and share it with one another. Now then, believing is the key. And the next step that comes into this is a realization that you have the right to believe. Now, the devil will like to come along and tell you something. Now, you don't have any right to do that. You know what an old, ugly thing you are. God ain't going to pay no attention to you when you pray. You don't have any right to pray. I mean, you hadn't fasted 40 days. He'll do anything he can to sidetrack you on believing. But Jesus died for the whole world, not just a particular segment of the world, not just one culture or one race. Jesus died for the whole thing. And if you're breathing air and walking around on this earth, I mean, if you are a human being, you have a right to believe that Jesus is Lord. And once you've stepped through that door, once you have stepped over into that realm, you have every right before God that Jesus has when it comes to prayer and believing and walking with God and having God walk with you and having God lead you and train you and teach you and develop you and keep you well and keep your table supplied and keep your family and all of these things. I don't care how bad the world gets. Amen. You have a right to believe. Don't let the devil tell you that, well, I know, you know, if I could just believe, but Well, you have every right to believe because Jesus has already come. He's already been to the cross. He's already been raised from the dead. He's already been seated at the right hand of majesty on high. He has already given forth His order for the Spirit, Spirit of God to come into the earth. He has already said, I'm available to whosoever will. Now then, let's settle a couple of things in this time we have left here today. I want you to notice with me in Luke chapter 13, we're right there in the New Testament there. In Luke chapter 13, there was a situation that Jesus ministered to here. Look with me in the 10th verse. As He was teaching in one of the synagogues, there was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, He ministered to this woman, and the ruler of the synagogue, or what would be tantamount to or equal to the a pastor of a church now that we know, he got upset about it because he did it on the wrong day. I mean, he got crosswise of his tradition. The ruler of the synagogue answered the indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And then Jesus said, now this is what He said to this fellow, you hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his cattle and so forth from the stall and lead him away to water? Don't you water your stock on the Sabbath day? In other words, I mean, dear God, you go water a jackass on the Sabbath day and you don't care if this woman spends another day bound up by the devil. You see what He's talking about? Now listen. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond? Now what I want you to get, since she's the daughter of Abraham, since she's the seed of Abraham, shouldn't she be delivered? Shouldn't she be loosed? Now then, if you go over to the book of Galatians, Listen to what this says concerning that fact. And this is speaking about all people that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now listen to this. And if you be Christ, if you belong to Jesus, and you do, if you've made Him the Lord of your life, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, I'll just repeat what Jesus said concerning you. Ought not this man or this woman, seeing that he belongs to Jesus and is therefore the seed of Abraham, shouldn't he be loosed? Shouldn't she be loosed? Shouldn't you be delivered? Amen. Glory to God. Shouldn't your prayers be answered? What am I saying? You have the right to believe. In Jesus Christ, you have the right to believe. So all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, which you have a right to do, you shall receive. Praise God. You have a right to pray and you have a right to receive. Heavenly Father, I pray for this television audience today. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. I receive along with them deliverance, spirit and soul and body, financially, socially. Satan, take your hands off of God's property in the name of Jesus. Now you rise up and resist the devil and believe that you receive. Don't just leave your Bible laying around. Get in there, praise the Lord. Get into it. Get hold of it. Now, believe that you receive it. It's mine. Glory to God. I don't feel anything. That ain't believing you receive. That's looking. Believe you receive it. It's mine. I believe it. Glory to God.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.